Just a few moments, we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper, in which we remember our Lord, our Savior Jesus, his body and his blood. As a Broncos fan, I acknowledge that I am biased against players, and I do not always see them for who they are. And this was made most clear to me back in what I consider to be the golden years of the Broncos. There was a certain player that across the league was known to be dirty. He was mean and cruel and took dirty hits, but he was a Broncos player, and therefore I thought he was just severely misunderstood, and he played very hard. But there was one event, one act was able to change the way I viewed him. It was so despicable and inexcusable. It was something that I could not look at him and say that was accidental. It was intentional. There was no way around it. It was disgusting. And in the middle of the game, they caught him on video spitting in the face of one of the opponent players. And I no longer was biased against him because that was so vile. So inappropriate. I saw him the way the rest of the league had always seen him. Spitting is disgusting, but that just doesn't quite cover it, does it? Spitting into somebody's face. We see within Scripture several things talked about spitting, and it's just not a pretty picture. In Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 2, it talks about a guy who is unclean. And verse 8 says, here's what happens. If an unclean man were to spit on you, boom, you are now unclean. They just transfer their uncleanness to you. It's something that God said in regards to Miriam. There was an occasion where Aaron and Miriam, they rebelled against Moses. And they said, oh, God hasn't just spoken to you. We're special too. And God calls them out. And he gives Miriam leprosy. And Aaron begs God, take it away. And Moses begs God, take it away. And God says something about spitting at that point. He says, if her father had but spit in her face, she would be unclean for 7 days. And so as a result of the leprosy and as a result of this concept, she's not allowed in the camp for a week. And that would have happened if somebody had just spat in her face. I think about Job. And we think about Job and all the things that he went through. Losing his family, losing his stuff, losing his health. But as Job talks to his friends and expresses to them how low God has brought him, twice, on top of all those other things, he mentions the idea of being spit at. In Job 17 and verse 6, he says, but he has made me a byword of the people, and I am one at whom men spit. And then in his final address, in Job 30 and verse 10, this is just a little bit before he then faces God, he says, they abhor me and stand aloof from me, and they do not refrain from spitting at my face. And what a sad picture that is for Job to have lost everything he has, to endure everything he has, and people give that feel like that has given them the right, the justification when they see him as they pass by to spit at him. There's another law, and this one I find a little peculiar as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, in our society, this particular law doesn't make a ton of sense to us. In fact, frankly, we find it a little disturbing, a little gross. It's the levirate marriage. And basically what it says is that if a man has a wife and no kids and he dies, the man's brother needs to take the wife and have a child with her and name that child after the deceased. It is a way of saving a lineage, saving a name, ensuring inheritance. The method is what's a little peculiar to us, but what it accomplishes we can grasp. Well, on occasion, the brother of the deceased was not interested. And so it says in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 7, it says, if the man does not desire to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to establish a name for his brother in Israel. He is not willing to perform the duty of a husband's brother to me. Then the elders of his city shall summon him and speak to him. And if he persists and says, I do not desire to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the sight of the elders, pull his sandal off his foot, and spit in his face. And she shall declare, this is done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. So the Bible does not look very kindly on the idea of spitting, saying, you have failed your family. You have failed God's lineage, his plan. Well, you know where this is headed. We get to the New Testament, and it is what we see Jesus enduring. We actually start in the Old Testament. This is something that was prophesied. Isaiah is not, it's not just Isaiah 52 that's talking about Jesus. Jesus is all throughout the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 50, I believe this is included in that, that this portion is talking about the things that Jesus would do when he comes on this earth. And it says in verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. And so here, even as it talks about what's going to come, one of the things it talks about is he's going to be spat on. And Jesus, as he is nearing that moment, also prophesies. And when he's prophesying about, I'm going to die and I'm going to be resurrected, he includes this concept. I'm going to be spit on. In Mark chapter 10, verse 33 and 34 says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. And then, having had it foretold in the Old Testament, prophesied by his own lips, he then had to endure it. And in Mark chapter 14, Jesus has been arrested, and he's in the Jewish courts. In Mark 14, verse 65, some began to spit at him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him with their fists, and say to him, prophesy, and the officers received him with slaps in the face. And then again in Mark 15, in verse 19, now he's in the Roman courts. They kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling and bowing before him. I think in all of my life, I've only witnessed people only rarely being spit on, even in the movies. And it seems to always be just once, because once is enough. But Jesus is in the Jewish court, and there's several spitting on him. And then he's over in the Roman court, and there are several spitting on him. And the irony? Remember that Levirate law? Isn't that what he's doing? He's establishing our inheritance. He's making it so that we can have eternal life and a home in heaven, that we can be granted a name, that we can be restored. He's answering the call, and mankind's response was to spit on him. Jesus, on the night in which he was spat on the night in which he was betrayed, and before he was crucified, had his disciples together, and he gave them bread, and he gave them fruit of the vine, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. We remember our Lord. We remember what he went through. And we remember he did it voluntarily, the King of Kings, for us.